I'm going to make it real short because we're losing a little bit of time here, but I think we'll be okay running into the next presentation. I've never introduced a speaker with a bag before, but I will. It's at the bottom. Oops, sorry, wrong way. They're not blank. Down here is Hawthorne's Audio, Tom and Virginia, who are nice enough to help sponsor the part sponsor the bags. Tom and Virginia are owners of Hawthorne's Antique Audio. They've been in the record and sheet music auction business for 20 years. Tom does the records, Virginia does the sheet music and music editing. Their subject is San Francisco popular music in the Bay Area from the 1890s to the 1920s. They did a wonderful job when we were here in Santa Barbara six years ago, I guess it was, and I'm looking forward to hearing this presentation. So, Tom and Virginia, take it away.
Okay. Well, I'm going to bellow. I used to teach seventh grade, and I think you can probably hear me. Can you? Back row.
Not too well.
Hello? Mostly this is music, so you won't have to hear me blab very much, but I'm afraid that if I pin a mic on, I'm going to get a lot of feedback. Because I have a lot of music. Can you handle it? Or you can come down, you know, you aren't in church. Okay, those of you in the front row are gonna get a good surprise right now. So music, maestro, please. Much, ladies and gentlemen, that's the program, which it just about is. But this is not about ragtime in its technical sense. It's not about research in ragtime or where it came from or where it went. It's about real things. What we're going to try and do today is, first of all, show you some real stuff. The sheet music that people were buying and playing, the music that they were hearing, as you heard just there. And to tell you something about the ragtime experience in this area, both as it was like the rest of the United States and some of the differences we found due to our location. And by doing this, we're going to use this terrible pun all the way through the archaeological record. We're digging into what actually was being played and sung and heard. And anybody knows that any time, jazz age was not all jazz, the rock and roll era was not all rock and roll. Well, the ragtime era was, of course, not all ragtime. There were all kinds of music, there was all kinds of music going on. And there's some flashing by you right now, some odds and ends of things that people were listening to and playing on their pianos and on their player pianos during the period, mostly the first couple of decades of the last century. Rags versus ragtime. Technically, rags were piano solos written in a very specific style, and they were wildly popular. There's lots of sheet music still around. Most of it was never recorded. How do we know? Well, we find rags transposed as for marching bands, accordions, and so on and so forth. We find recorded ragtime songs, which are not technically true rags in the piano solo sense. We find lots and lots of sheet music, which you've seen today already, or we'll see more of. But we rarely find piano recorded piano rags, and we have not personally found any recorded before 1910. I'm not saying there weren't any. I'm saying we have not encountered any, and we have been in the record and phonograph and sheet music business for 20 years and gone through something we calculated probably close to 100 records, close to a million records in the past 20 years. Some of them way too fast, so maybe we missed some. The first and earliest one we have to show you today is Hello My Baby, and you can see here, it's a 1899 recording, it's an old Berliner. Here's Len Spencer's wonderful Spencerian signature right in the wax there. It is an old and scratchy record, so have a little mercy on it, but it's an interesting example. Better in 1899 on the equipment that they had. Poor Scott Joplin. He tried. He really wanted ragtime to be classical in its form and dignified, and it rarely was, certainly in its recorded form. Now, at some point, you can't really dance to that, and ragtime was dance music for the most part, so that you are going to, we'll get to dance music in a little bit, but they all played it fast, partly because they only had 2 minutes to play it in. Piano solo transcribed. Certainly one of the most cheerful things ever recorded, and Sybil whistling away. This was a march. You could use it for a two-step polka, a cakewalk. Again, but dancing and cakewalks, you'll see a cakewalk in a moment here, were far more sedate than that. Consider what the ladies were wearing.
Accordion, solo, and then again a cakewalk, played by John J. Kimball, let us crackle.
Not the cakewalk that people danced to, as you could probably imagine. These ladies could not have managed that. That's probably the fastest accordion solo I ever heard. 16 Victor record catalog, and in that catalog we found 42 instrumentals listed under ragtime, 26 more ragtime songs, and one piano solo. So you can see there was quite a difference between what was being published this way and what was being recorded. So I figured if they have one piano solo, you have to hear it. Should have been written in 1922 instead of 1915. It's more of a novelty solo. But back to the archaeological record. By the time that ragtime was in full force in sheet music and in recordings, California was not isolated. The railroads had been in operation for more than 30 years. If you were a record producer, if you were a sheet music publisher, all you had to do was put your boxes on a boxcar, and they were out here in California and on the shelves and in the hands of the public in a very few days. So in that sense, California was just like everybody else. You could get the same material here that you could in New York or in Ohio or anywhere. Now what we find are, in proof of that, are music dealer stamps from the San Francisco Bay Area, lots of them. We didn't have to search, we didn't have to dig. They were there in our collection and in our inventory. And what happened is you walked into a music store and you bought a piece of sheet music and whomp, they'd put a dealer's stamp on it, so hopefully you would go back to the same dealer to buy your next wonderful piece of sheet music. And here's some samples with some music.
Billy McCoy was a musical boy on the fruit in Alabama. He was there with that piano like a beast down in the sea. Oh, when he rattled off some harmony, every night out on the ocean he would get that ragged notion, stop a single bay in motion lovingly. No one could sleep way out there on the deep with Billy cut loose out at sea. Each fish and worm begins to twist and squirm. The ship starts in the ship and does the cross crew turn. That smoke so black, stick from that old smokestack. It's floating right to heaven and it won't come back. Now here and there you'll see a stool and chair. A slipping round the cabin shouting, I don't care. And the handbrake starts a swinging and the bell begins to ring while he's sitting at that piano there on the Alabama playing the Oceana roar.
And interestingly enough, that is a dance music speed. That you could dance to. So that the ragtime songs had slowed down, partly just for the sound, but really that would really rock you right along. We also find lots and lots and lots of Bay Area sheet music publishers. Now, the problem is if you write and have published here in the San Francisco area any kind of song, getting it recorded is pretty tricky because you had to have contacts back east. You're 3,000 miles apart. So, you know, just sending it off in the mail and saying, here, Joe, see if you can get this recorded, really didn't work too well. So we haven't found matches. We find lots of matches between sheet music and records, but we have found no matches between locally published music and recordings. And once again, my weasel words are, that doesn't mean they weren't. It means we haven't found them. So we picked another song just to fill you in with some nice music of the age, and we're going to listen to this, people, because you will almost think you know what it is and then you aren't quite sure. We stumped some really high-powered ragtime music people two nights ago at our house playing this, and nobody got it.
Thank you.
the top one there, okay? If you own the cylinder, you don't, no voting, yeah? What is it?
12th Street Rag.
12th Street Rag, there you go. Give the man a cigar.
Louis Armstrong made a famous recording.
Pee Wee Hunt did too, and I think Pee Wee Hunt's probably what you had in your brain. And it's a slightly different syncopation, and it sounds almost there, and then you aren't sure. We do find self-published compositions. These were the people who'd gone even to the local publishers and couldn't get it on the street, so they did it themselves. And their chances of being recorded are pretty much slim to none. But here's nice Mr. Weigel publishing Mrs. Weigel's music, and of course she doesn't have a first name. Here's Kennedy and Buechler, who wrote and published this, and I have a suspicion this may be Kennedy and Buechler looking sadly along here. I don't know. Here's Baby Mine, this doting daddy, and I'm sure these twins hated the sight of this piece of music forevermore. But sheet music is interesting. It tells us a bunch of stuff. If you're doing any kind of research on almost anything in the music area, of course you get the title, and you get the composers, and you get the publisher, and you get a date. However, as you record people know, in the patent dates, well, this is the copyright date. Now, these two pieces of music right here happen to be Maple Leaf Rag, probably the most popular piece of ragtime ever published and recorded. It was published in 1899. I have never even seen or touched a first edition. This one is from about 1907, a different cover on it than the first edition. This one is probably 1919 to 1920. You'll see it's in what is technically known as the small format. This is the large format. Now you're going to have a test on that. But inside, both of them say 1899. You learn other stuff from these covers. This one happens to be that Mademoiselle Ria introduced this on the American stage. Usually you see something about so-and-so introduced this with great success in such and such a show. But this thing is an absolute Rosetta Stone. You have the Six Brown Brothers Clown Band, which was a very popular group. They played this in Fred Stone's new show, Tip Top. Here is the seller who was on O'Farrell Street in San Francisco. He had a nice, great, big dealer stamp. Here's the publisher, full street address, the whole thing. But here's the neat giveaway. Sheet music companies and recording companies were not in competition, they were in cooperation. And frequently on sheet music, we will see this crossover. Go get the record. You went in a music store and you had sheet music on one side, you had records on the other, you had phonographs down the middle, and pianos in the back. So they were all working together. And so it says, hear it, it's great, so we will. Pretty great. So things are rocking along San Francisco early in the last century. You have all this going on in the music world until
thank you.
Goes. It's also a very sneaky way to introduce you to another form of recording that was very, very popular, and that is the descriptive. And I don't know why I'm getting this slight difference here in the overlap. It looks perfect on my computer, but we'll figure it out. These were very popular. You have all kinds of descriptives. Teddy Roosevelt's March Up San Juan Hill and all kinds of things. Of course, all of downtown San Francisco was destroyed. All of the business area. Peter Bacigalupi watched three of his stores burn, including a five-story warehouse. He came back later and never was the powerhouse he was before. Sherman Clay came back. They were burned out, of course. They had the advantage of having the support of music stores up and down the coast. They were a chain. So San Francisco rebuilds. Now, the rebuilding process was incredibly fast, incredibly hard. A little bit about some other facets of the San Francisco area. The Barbary Coast was something like the Storyville in New Orleans, like Harlem in New York. It was where music was in ferment. And one of the dances that came out of that rough part of town that became civilized, so to speak, was the Grizzly Bear, one of the most popular of all. You may sing along. Jones must have been sick of the grizzly bear. So, another upheaval. We had the earthquake, we had something else. There was a huge campaign to bring the Panama Pacific celebration to San Francisco because they wanted to show the world they had indeed recovered. If I could go back in time, that's what I would go see. Palace of Liberal Arts had the Victor exhibit, which had a big concert hall and subsidiary halls and lots of records and lots of phonographs and lots of music. since Steve is looking at me with his big hook, I'm going to rush through this, and I got about 15 seconds of a taste of the Ragtime Revival. And if it wasn't for Raleigh Rose, native son here, this program would probably not be here, and most of the sheet music you have seen indirectly came to us from his collection. So here is a teeny bit of Wally Rose playing the Hot House Rag, which sounds more like it came from the Barbary Coast than from somebody's parlor. ¶¶